It's Tuesday, September 25th in Japan, and Monday, September 24th in the United States, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central, show number 802, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Get three domains at $5.99 each using the promo code 599GEEK. Hey, everyone's got a great show lined up for you. I am utterly just completely exhausted. We'll talk about what's been going on here in Japan here in just a few minutes, but I've got a great show lined up for you. As remember, Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast, coming to you live at Canby from Japan via the Geek News Central Portable Studio. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. Again, my name is Todd Cochran, and I want to encourage you to get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out all our great content. Really, that's the place to go to find the latest podcasts, find all the latest content on the website. Make sure you get over there. And when you do so, you'll find a link there to subscribe to the show via RSS or iTunes. And of course, you find all the content on the website. Don't forget about the Gadget Professor. It comes to you every Thursday at Geek News Central. You've got Robot Underpants. Every Friday, you've got the Chrome Show, on specifically on some weekends, Saturday Morning Tech when I'm in Honolulu. And of course, this show every Monday and Thursday, United States time. And I tell you, it's been a great week here in Japan. I've been literally running like a mad dog from one event to another, from one client to the other. And I've had to burn the candle at both ends because the Japanese absolutely love to drink after any type of a meeting. They, you know, it's not one of those things where you can say, oh, sorry, I gotta go. It's, you know, it's off to a club and to a bar, and you're, yeah, it's been a long week. So I'm, packing things up here. I leave, out of Okinawa tomorrow, fly up to Tokyo. I've been down here for a few days, visited some family as well. So it's been kind of crazy, busy, and but again, fly out tomorrow and get into Honolulu Wednesday morning very, very early. Hey, I want to give a warm welcome, of course, to the HANA and listeners from around the world. And again, when you're over on the website at geeknewscentral.com, getting subscribed to the show is important. Sign up for the newsletter. And if you miss the show, you can watch the show on the Tech Podcast channel on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, and Google TV. Hey, we had good video recordings of the last show, but I just, bandwidth-wise, the little mobile card, every time I try to upload a gig of data, it just, it chokes on me. So I'm going to be looking for some fat bandwidth, hopefully at when I get to United's Red Carpet Club, and maybe I'll be able to upload some stuff there during my four-hour layover. But if not, I'll get all the videos up on the website once I get back to Hawaii. Of course, you can always reach out to the show. It's real easy to do so. And if you know, if you're looking to send us a comment, you can send it at Geek News on Twitter. Of course, email is geeknews@gmail.com, and our hotline is 619-342-7365. And really, the hotline's available for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And we encourage you to use that whenever possible. So I've got a lot of content to get into this afternoon here in Japan, but I've got, boy, I tell you, I'm really, be honest with you, I need another week here. And it's just been, it's been good in many ways, but I've also had to maintain doing business at home. And, you know, it seems like what my problem is, I get in late, and then I'm looking at my call list. So The phone started ringing this morning at 4:43 a.m. And, you know, I have it sitting on my bedstand over there, and I look at the phone number call, and it's like, oh, I got to answer this. And so you're like, hello? At 4:40 in the morning, and I'm sorry. And they can tell I'm in Japan. It's fine. I'm answering the phone no matter what's going on. And so it's been, trying to maintain a schedule and trying to do business is tough, especially when your U.S. clients are still pinging you for information. And boy, oh boy. So, yeah, not much sleep. So I am looking forward to the 7-hour ride across the pond. I do have a business class seat going home. I had one coming out, which was pretty nice as well. But I'll definitely be sleeping this time instead of staying awake and watching movies and stuff. So, but otherwise than that, not a lot of news going on here. What I think I want to talk about is one thing I've been finding is these... I've been doing some new media consulting here too, and having some meeting with media buyers and a variety of other things going on. And I'm just amazed by the number of folks that are so-called podcast consultants. I've had to deal with the mess that some of these folks have left, some of the companies I've been talking to. And it's remarkable. And the same couple of names keep popping up from people that I'm familiar with that are doing business as so-called podcast consultants. So, you know, please, if you're ever thinking about hiring a so-called podcast consultant, make sure they're really one, and you don't have to hire a guy like me to come in and do cleanup later. But that is the way things are. But anyway, let's go ahead and move on into some new topics here. I've got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight. But first of all, let's go ahead and take care of just a little bit of business. And, of course, this show is sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Lots of great products and services over at GoDaddy. Definitely want you to check out what they have available. This month, we've got a special going on where you're going to be able to get a $5.99.com. up to three of them by using the promo code 599geek. So again, use the 599geek to get up to three .coms at $5.99 each. And I tell you, we've got lots of great codes for you to use at Geek News Central as well. Things that you can use to really save money on hosting accounts, on SSL certificates. And all you really have to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And I was going to bring the page up here, but I think I'm already tweaking the connection pretty good with the... let's see if it's going to load here. But, you know, I've got codes there. Todd20 will save you 20% on hosting accounts. I've got Todd will save you 10% on non-domain orders. I've got Aloha code, which will save you $20 off any order $75 or more. The Geek SSL 12 will get you $12.99.com certificates. So really, this is a way to save a lot of money with GoDaddy, is to use all my promo codes. Again, go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Check out all the codes I've got available for you. And share those codes with your friends, tweet them, tell them about them. And don't forget, we've got all these great stuff for you to use and ways to save money. So again, geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. All right, let's go ahead and get into the regular content tonight and let's see what I've got in my stack here. Hey, early adopters of the iPhone 5 are experiencing some issues with the iPhone. And basically what they're saying is that they are seeing, and I've got construction going on. They're getting ready to paint the building I'm in. And I'm on the third floor, and they've already got scaffolding off the side of the building here. So the painters have been walking by. So if you see a flicker in the window, you'll know that they're walking by, for those of you who are watching the live stream. But anyway, on the iPhone 5, which is sold out of their initial stock, they've been noticing slow Wi-Fi, and specifically connecting with WPA2 protected Wi-Fi networks. So if you're having some issues, you may want to change the encryption on your Wi-Fi network. They've also found that the aluminum backing on the phone is basically scratching very easy. And also they said that some of the phones are getting are leaking light. So one of the apparent defects is it's a small light leak from the LED backlight shining or through a crack in the edge where the front panel fits into the aluminum casing. Now, it's not you can't see it unless it's a low light conditions, but Apple's reportedly replacing any device showing this specific problem. Siri's having some issues and giving incorrect results when asking about weather in certain cities. And if you're a prior Mobile Me user, don't forget to upgrade to the iCloud and make sure you've got enough storage on hand, because at the end of September, they're going to your 20 gigs of extra storage you're getting on Mobile Me to iCloud is going away. So really the easiest workaround is to go into Settings, iCloud, Storage and Backup, Manage Storage, and delete any backups for unused devices. This is going to help you get rid of some of the excess storage. And if that doesn't work, you're going to have to tap on Change Storage Plan to cancel the automatic downgrade to the standard 5 gig you'll be paying. And then again, pay the $40 per year to get the extra $20, which isn't a terrible price. But you're going to have to do it before September 30th or risk losing data, especially if you're transitioning to the new phone right around the same time. The folks at Wall Street are saying that iPhone 5, even though it sold 5 million units, is apparently a little less than what analysts thought that they were going to sell. And, you know, that was a lot better than iPhone 4S first 3 days last year. It's a ton of product, but essentially they feel that there should be more phones having be sold in the first couple of days. And boy, they're saying that sales expectations assume Apple will include all phones pre-ordered online. And they believe that that may have been up to 1 million additional units pre-ordered after the middle of the first day were projected to be available in October. So they feel that the launch number would have been $7 to $8 million, and some are in Wall Street are saying that because of that number, the stock was down around $13, so a small percentage down because they feel they didn't deliver as many as they thought they would. Now, one thing I will say is the phone has been real good as a globetrotter so far. You know my iPhone 4S or iPhone 4 on AT&T seems to have done well. Phone calls have come in, text messages have come in. So many of you that had a Verizon phone prior to this did not have some of the same options traveling internationally. But the iPhone 5 is going to have the ability to basically change the SIM out, and they're saying they're going to be unlocked. The Verizon version, again, of the iPhone 5 will come with all the radios, save CDMA, unlocked. That means any Verizon iPhone user can insert any carrier SIM card to be on another network. So this is a great news for those of you that are network switchers or jet setters, and this is big. So you know, to buy a SIM card locally, I paid $50 to upgrade on AT&T for 1 month for an international plan, and then I paid $1.69 a minute for phone calls and 50 cents a text. But if I wouldn't have got a local SIM card, it'd been much more inexpensive. I could have bought a set amount of minutes, U.S. and local, and it would have been fine. So, but with the unlocked SIM slot, you know, you can pay the local rates, and that's big for those of you that are getting the Verizon phone. So maybe an option, especially if you travel internationally, to consider when you're getting ready to pick one up. All right, let's go and get off the iPhone 5, and let's talk about Craigslist. Three Taps is a data company, and they've locked horns in a legal battle with Craigslist for nearly 2 months. And on Monday, 3Tap launched a countersuit against its rival. 3Tap accuses Craigslist of antitrust violations and unfair competition. So, you know, this is in response to Craigslist's refusal to change its user interface or add features, or other sites have sprung up using Craigslist data as a way to create new business, and Craigslist does not like that. They don't like people basically taking the data off their website. Three Taps has basically continued to scrape Craigslist, and basically they're scraping Google's cache of Craigslist. And so what Craigslist did is they told search engines to stop indexing ads. For now, Three Taps appears to have a strong legal case here and what's going on. But we'll see what happens. But definitely a battle is on, and people are trying to usurp Craigslist and provide more functionality to people that are searching for stuff online. You know, if those companies get their own traction, I think they'll just win by default. People start moving off. Now, something that should be a little bit scary to you, and something I've experienced myself in the past, is that Facebook is now cross-referencing your account with retail purchases. So advertisers are pressuring the site to let them see if their ads are working. So Facebook is now using a data company to connect ad displays on the site to in-store purchases. So what's going on? They're using a company called Datalogix, which owns data culled from loyalty programs such as a CVS Extra Care card or the Stop and Shop card. That information includes items like names, email addresses, and purchase history, which it can now be used to connect to Facebook accounts. And then Facebook can serve, and those advertisers can serve targeted ads to you either at home, close to the store, and so forth. So Facebook has said that Facebook doesn't get that data that retailers give Datalogix. Retailers don't get any data from Facebook. So, but there is, looks like there's a little bit of cross-sharing, and Facebook does share anonymous IDs corresponding to consumers exposed to a given ad program. So they're trying to tie it all together so that you are targeted, and they look to be doing a pretty good job. But we'll see, but CVS is one of those companies that's managed its loyalty program data with Facebook's partner, Facebook, and new partner Datalogix. So pretty crazy stuff. I'm telling you, they're going to be tracking everything we do, taste, eat, walk by, smell, you name it. It's going to be ongoing. All right, Iran has finally pulled the trigger. They have blocked Gmail, and they have and secure Google searches. So you can no longer go to HTTPS /// google.com and search for something on Google. The country wants you to go there in a non-secure way. So now folks are being blocked access to Google and Gmail. So, you know, they want people to do unsecure searches so they're able to capture that data. So, you know, this basically is if you're just searching for something generic, you're going to be okay. But, you know, and what's kind of funny here is those upper class or tech savvy Iranians who have access to a virtual private network will remain unaffected by these changes. But, of course, YouTube has been blocked in Iran since 2009. But Iran appears to be pushing users towards a domestic answer to Google, as they said they have been doing so in the past. They're trying to keep control of their citizens in a big, big way. Hey, we're on the BBC. There's a report that's saying that Foxconn in China has halted production at a plant after a mass brawl. Apparently, 2,000 of the company's workers had a mass brawl with security and against one another. Over 40 people were injured. Apparently, this was touched off by some sort of a personal dispute that escalated because of a security guard smacking a worker or something like that. Apparently, a security guard beat a worker, and this is what caused the folks to get pissed off and go toe-to-toe. So that they've closed this plant temporarily, I guess to shut, keep people, you know, get people cooled off. So we'll see where this leads. All right, Kim.com inquiry ordered into unlawful spying. Apparently, an inquiry has been ordered into whether New Zealand's intelligence staff engaged in unlawful spying prior to the arrest of mega upload owner Kim.com. So the country's prime minister, John Kay said some communications were obtained without statutory authority. This is huge. Basically, if they can throw out what they obtained from him because it wasn't gained underneath the correct warrant or so forth, this could be a big win for him. The latest statement from the prime minister will be seen as another blow to the integrity of the U.S. case. The prime minister asked for an investigation into circumstances of unlawful interception of communications of certain individuals working for the Government Communications Security Bureau, GCSB, the country's main intelligence agency. He added, "I expect our intelligence agencies to operate always within the law. Their operation depends on public trust." So there's an IG inspection going on or an investigation. So we'll see what happens here. But spying on this guy without a warrant essentially is what part of the charges here are. They're going to find out if he was or was not. All right, YouTube has been rolled out some new features. They debuted a video translator service for 300 languages. With 70% of the global audience living outside the United States that are on YouTube, YouTube has introduced this tool to make caption translations easier for video makers. So if you are providing captions, they're going to be able to do the translations in up to 300 languages. But with the video manager, users translate the video themselves using the Google Translator Toolkit or invite others to help them as well. The video manager also allows videographers to watch their video as they translate to make the process easier. So in other words, some of this is going to be crowdsourced, which is pretty cool as well. You know, translation services and lower, basically closed captioning is very expensive to do correctly in any video. All right, Logitech has left Squeezebox fans wondering what's next, and the Squeezebox platform is officially discontinued. Logitech hasn't told the current owners what they should expect from now on. I know that Brian, our creative director at Raw Voice, he was a big fan of Squeezebox. I have one, of course. If you don't and let me give you guys a little peek here. This is what the Squeezebox looks like. I have one of these sitting on my desk back in Honolulu. And so we'll see where this leads. But if your digital audio ecosystem is on borrowed time because of the folks at Logitech, I apologize, but you may have to buy a new box soon. But actually, the UE Smart Radio is basically part of the same platform. So anyway, very cool. We'll see what happens here with this and where Logitech takes it or don't, or maybe they'll keep the interface working for a couple of years. It's one thing, you know, one thing I like in Honolulu, I can't get Sirius or XM radio. And there's a couple of programs I like to listen to that aren't streamed any other way. And the only way I can get to listen to those shows is on Sirius or XM during some replay periods. So for a while I was using my Squeezebox, actually use it to listen to XM radio. And I had a digital subscription. I've long since canceled that, but that was one of the uses I had of it in the past. Hey, Goodyear's on-the-go self-inflating tire. You know, when was the last time you checked your air pressure? If you're scratching your head here, you might want to put a set of Goodyear's new self-inflating tires on your ride. My ride in Honolulu is due for some tires. Sadly, they're not available for us consumers yet, but the company's air maintenance technology was rolled out of the lab last week for a debut at a car show in Germany. So commercial truckers will be the first to put the rubber to test, but a consumer version is in the works. Now, what it does is there's a regulator in the tire itself that senses when tire inflation pressure drops below a preset point and opens to allow airflow into what they call the pumping tube. As the tire rolls, deformation flattens the tube, pushing air through the tire to the inlet valve and then into the tire cavity. All this technology, in Goodyear's words, eliminates the need for external inflation pressure intervention. And I tell you, if you have a slow leak, this would be a great way to keep your tires pressurized Of course, if you have a bigger leak, you're not going to be able to get enough air in quick enough. But for small leaks, this is pretty incredible. Well, you know, Captain Picard, right? Those of you that are Trekkie fans knew who I'm referring to. But I guess when Captain Picard loses patience with your cable service, you need to run a tighter ship. Apparently, Time Warner is losing subscribers, and a lot of folks remain in denial over it. But it should not come as a surprise to many of you to learn that when the celebrities tweet something, it usually gets the company's attention. And Sir Patrick Stewart, of course, that is his real title, not Captain Picard, sent a tweet out after trying to get cable set up in his home in New York City. He says, "All I wanted to do was set up an account with @TimeWarnerCable_New York City, but 36 hours later, I've lost the will to live." So that's a pretty huge statement here. And but the folks over at Time Warner, for its part, responded to the New York Post with this statement. Now check this out. "There's no doubt we have a lot of fans at the company, of the actor and Star Trek in general. But the truth is, any customer that reaches out to us, we're going to offer them help in the exact same way." Of course they're going to treat him in the same exact way. But when, I'm sure the guy has a huge number of followers, but when he says sayonara to Time Warner Cable, that's saying something. You know, that's amazing here. "All I wanted to do was set up a new account with Time Warner Cable at New York City, but 36 hours later, I've lost the will to live." If you can't get in and become a new customer, you know, what's the point in being in business? It's just amazing. It really is. All right, another article over on Tech Dirt talking about the return of dumb ideas here. Broadband tax to save failing newspapers. And no, this didn't come from the United States. This is a piece over at The Guardian Daily by a guy by the name of David Lay, who argues that there should be a £2 tax on every broadband connection sent to the newspapers in order to prop them up. you know, this idea is not original. It's been suggested for years and seems to pop up in random places at random times. But it's pretty incredible. You've got a newspaper system that is failing, but can you imagine a £2 or $2 levy on your internet connection to be paid to a newspaper to help them stay in business? You know, we're all digital now. If those newspapers don't get digital, they're going to be lost. And even then, they need to stay up with the news flow. They don't need to be wasting our time with news that are 2 or 3 days old, like I see so many times. And we get the paper newspapers. Strictly, my wife does it to get the coupons on Sunday. And it's just, I thumb through it, and there's usually like one or two things I read, and it's typically stuff I don't cover in my digital space. But the rest of the newspaper is just crap. It's junk. I don't read it. I really don't. Right over on Tech Dirt as well, another judge blast a copyright troll. And it's lucky, and it's good. We've been seeing more judges reacting negatively to copyright trolls, and they seem to be getting more aggressive in their statements against the trolls, and it seems clear that fewer judges are falling for their antics. The latest is from a judge, Harold Bear, in the Southern District of New York, who you could say is not impressed by a copyright trolling case as it ends up in his court. Specifically coming from Media Products and Patrick Collins. So basically, he is not happy with these goats. And he notes early on, there's very serious potential problem of IP addresses not being particularly good identifiers of who has done the actual infringement. He says, particularly troubling for courts is the high probability of misidentified Doe defendants who may be the bill payer for the IP address, but not the actual infringer, selling a case for fear of the disclosure of allegations against them or the high cost of litigation. In other words, they're being strong-armed. He notes that he's not ready to wade into the question of whether or not what they're calling a joinder is appropriate, especially in cases where all IP addresses are part of the same BitTorrent swarm, but he's clearly worried about a different kind of swarm. He says, ironically, there are swarms on both sides. For copyright, locusts have descended on the federal courts, exacting low-cost settlements from embarrassed John Does and then moving on to the next district. So he seems familiar with the cases, but he says the plaintiff's tactics, if left unchecked, could turn copyright protection on its head. Congress intended to incentivize the creation of useful arts, providing a statutory right and a means of enforcement that would reward authors for their labors. Hardly the plaintiff's strategy here. In the BitTorrent pornography case, settlements are for notoriously low amounts relatively to the possible statutory damage, but high relative to the low value of the work and minimal cost and mass litigation. He says cases are almost never prosecuted beyond sending demand letters and threatening phone calls. Serving the Doe defendants does not destroy the incentive to prosecute infringers who use peer-to-peer protocols. It merely restores the balance that Congress intended, not to mention that it ensures the court receives the filing fees that plaintiffs otherwise avoid. So he goes on to say the plaintiff shall not contact any Doe defendant who does not remain in this or a subsequently filed case or any pending settlement not with John Doe 1. In each named case shall immediately cease if after 14 days the plaintiffs have not reinstituted cases against the remaining Doe defendants. In other words, you have to move with the other. You can't move with just one. You have to come back with all of them. So he's going to make it more difficult for these folks to move forward. He's saying if you don't file for one, you have to file for all. You just can't to come in here and cherry pick which cases you bring to the actual court. So I thought that was good. All right, Switzerland. Did you know that they're on a a U.S. watch list? Now, this is pretty crazy. A Congressional International Anti-Piracy Caucus, yeah, has added Switzerland to its bad countries list, along with China, Russia, and Ukraine. Italy also joined Switzerland as the first timer on the list, despite rulings that required ISPs to block access to various file sharing sites. So what has happened, why Switzerland is on the watch list, is that last December, the Swiss executive branch noted that based on their research, it appeared that unauthorized file sharing was not a big deal, showing that consumers were still spending just as much on entertainment and that much of it was going directly to the artists rather than to the middlemen. In other words, it was a market shift, not a big law enforcement problem. At the time, people wondered if Switzerland was going to be on this new list. So they did. They added Switzerland to the bad boy list. And basically, it's like the kind of like the terrorist list. But it's for copyright. And Switzerland's on that list and is now a enemy of the state when it comes to copyright type topics. Pretty nutso. Hey, this past weekend, the New York Times said the data centers basically are using a massive amount of power. And I think we all kind of like, yeah, no kidding. We like Facebook. We like Twitter. We like being searching the web. We like coming to Geek News Central. We like doing things on the web. And, of course, data centers suck up a lot of juice. And why wouldn't they, right? Well, the New York Times piece basically missed what has happened in the past 5 or 6 years. And that what's going on is companies like Google, Apple, and Amazon are building new generation data centers that look nothing like the data centers of old, but they're doing most of the work in secret, trying to keep their tactics fresh and moving forward. And I think why are we complaining about power to data centers? Why are we saying they're big energy users? We know they are. It's part of the ecosystem here. You want the internet, you're going to have to pay to power those data centers to have those servers ready. It's not like you can set the servers down and then wait for a request and then ramp them up. People will be on to the next website. So I just think the topic's irrelevant. It's just like water. It's just like food. We all rely on this stuff now. We rely on the delivery of content when we want it, when we need it, where we want it, how we want it. So it's just a fact, and if we want that, we have to pay for the power plants to make the power available to drive the data centers to keep the servers running. So I think it's just a big joke. And people, oh, we got to be green. And there's nothing green about running computers. Okay, it's just they take power. Power in, data out. That's how it works. It really does. All right, MySpace is teasing slick new revamp with minimalist fare. Boy, I tell you, people are pretty excited. I see a lot of discussion going on about the new Facebook. And that makes me just go, hey, Sam. Sam's checking in on the broadcast. How are you doing, Sam? Thanks for being here. Going back to the MySpace piece over on Engadget, they're saying that they're basically trying to make MySpace a new social network innovator. They're trying to bring people back to it. So we'll see what happens here. But apparently, MySpace has been rebuilt from the ground up, and it basically doesn't look at all like its previous incarnation. There's still a heavy focus on music and an integrated playlist editor, but virtually everything else has been stripped down with a thin, clean design, large images, and lots of soft grays to go along with it. Everything's rearranged. There's kind of like a timeline type thing. So I haven't been over there and taken a look in a long time, but the folks over in Engadget have a nice write-up on this. Hey, today, don't forget, you can follow me here. Follow me on Twitter at Geek News. You can email me, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can call the hotline at 619-342-7365. And, of course, make sure you visit the website at geeknewscentral.com. Hey, Google has updated the Chrome app for iOS 6, making it friendly with the iPhone 5. So that's available as an update. If you are using that particular app, it's probably already popped in your updates list. Hey, a couple of articles over at geeknewscentral.com that I want to draw your attention to. And let me get the shift here. What we've got is Netflix has added new features to the Android app. So this is big. So if you're an Android user, you want to definitely update your Netflix app. It works much better like their tablet app now. And it now displays more titles and galleries. The title bar features the ability to pick up watching TV shows and movies where you left off. And the home screen now features the instant queue and TV show and movie recommendations. So that's pretty cool. Definitely check out the new Netflix app for Android. Another great article over at Geek News Central written by Andrew was Shark Fin Self-Molding Earbuds. I haven't heard about this company before. But these are custom-fit earbuds and headphones that are really, you know, can be very expensive. But the folks at Shark Fin have came out with some pretty nice ones. It takes about 5 minutes to put them together. There's a video instruction and everything. And does he have the price here on how much they are? This is incredible. They cost just $4.99, and that's pounds. Andrew wrote this. The game is surprising in pounds. That's a pretty good deal. And this is not going to cost very much to... they're not real sexy like a commercial set of self-molded earbuds. But at least this is something that will be a little better than some standard earbuds. If you have trouble with earbuds falling out all the time... It looks like it's got some sort of a molding stuff. It's not super sexy. Maybe you can spray paint it after it's done, but for $5, if you break them, who cares, right? And it looks like you might be able to use a set of headphones that you already have. Anyway, link could be up in the show notes on this. You definitely will want to check it out. For £5, it might be worth just the test. Andrew, why don't you get a pair and do a little video on it? All right, for many of you, winter's coming. And I hate to say that because, you know, it's not that late in the season yet. It's just still here. We're still September 23rd, 24th time frame. But if you are thinking about getting ready for the winter, the folks over at Gizmodo have got a recommendation for you. This is a new folding ice scraper. And it folds up and rolls into a nice little package. So if you need something for your car that is, I guess for a better word, you know, it's a little more eye appealing than the standard plastic eye scraper that's usually the most effective anyway. You can pick one of these up for a pair of them for $27. And, you know, have one for your car, have one for your wife's car, have two in your car so you can help someone scrape. I haven't had to scrape a car window in a long time, knock on wood. Haven't had the misfortune of being someplace where it snowed a lot. All right, Gizmodo's also got an article about a wearable camera. It captures every last moment of our mundane existence. And let me bring this up and show this to you. It's just basically like a little fob that hangs on there. And it's kind of cool. And this is not cheap. It's $650. And it's not available in the U.S. right now. It's going to be available first in apparently in the U.K., or maybe it is available right now in the U.S. and it'll be available in the U.K. in November. No, U.K. first. I apologize. But it'll transfer right to your iPhone. And basically you can set the actual aperture size and so forth on it. So if you want to wear a camera on your neck and basically record everything you do, you can get one of these. I don't know. What do you guys think about wearing a camera? You know, I think the Google Glasses are going to be cool, but I'm not so sure about wearing a camera. Now, it says that they're calling it the Autographer, will serve as sort of an intelligent time-lapse camera, but instead of snapping photos after a given time interval, it uses built-in sensors, including a magnetometer, accelerometer, thermometer, infrared detector, and a color light sensor to feed data to a special algorithm that decides when it's time to take a shot. The idea is that the camera only take a photo when something interesting happens. It hopes a 5-megapixel sensor with a 136-degree semi-fisheye lens captures as much what's going on as possible, and the Autographer can be worn around the neck or clipped to your clothing for a hands-free operation. It does have a shutter button, lets you manually trigger a photo whenever you want at the end of your day, so you can dump all of your shots to a smartphone over Bluetooth for distribution to various social sites, or connect it to a computer via USB. It doesn't say how long it lasts or anything like that. But for $650, the thing better be really, really good. Hey, did you know that Woz wants to become an Oz? I guess Woz likes what they call the National Broadband Network in Australia so much, he's applying for citizenship. So this is pretty incredible. Woz told the Australian Financial Review in Sydney that he had spoken to Communication Minister Stephen Conroy and was in support of the federal government's fiber rollout. He says, "I support it very much. It's one of the reasons why I'm actually like this country and want to become a citizen." He says, "I live in a country where we don't have any regulation of telecommunications." In Australia, the launch of the Apple iPhone 5 last week, Woz told Brisbane's 4BC Breakfast Radio that he was underway to become an Australian citizen. He says, "It turns out I can keep my American citizenship. I tend to call myself an Australian and feel an Australian and study the history and become as much of a real citizen here as I can." That's pretty crazy. Not for Australia. I'm sure they're happy to have Woz's money down there just as much as here in the U.S. But basically, he's impressed that they're rolling out this fiber rollout nationwide, and is one of the reasons why he wants to become an Australian citizen. Now, the question is, for those of you that listen to this show down in Australia, how in the world are they getting fiber to the outback? You know, there are some places that are pretty doggone remote. And if they're going to do global rollout in the country, that means, you know, bringing fiber to the outback. And that's pretty incredible if you think about the plan there. All right. Google Car is zooming towards legal status. And boy, Google is pressing hard in a variety of states to get the smart car essentially available so that they can have self-driving vehicles all across the country. But there was lots of things that went into the deal in California, and there's a good article on BayCitizen.org talking about it. One of the biggest things was the insurance and liability issue. Who's at fault when there was an accident? So anyway, pretty cool what they're doing there. But Google did a lot of legal maneuvering. They did a lot of donation to political candidates. So they kind of greased the skids to get this vehicle going. But and Google's lobbying other cities and states to make this happen. They spent $8.95 million during the first half of 2012 to lobby federal officials on numerous issues, including the driverless car. And they paid $140,000 for lobbying services in California to do help their status along as well. I think this is probably money well spent. I think the driverless car could be a cool thing. All right. So here's a situation I run into oftentimes. My wife calls me. Can you pick up the kids? No, I'm here doing this. And she says, well, I'm here doing that. And, well, let's just send the car. And if you have a driverless car, you could send the car to pick up the kids. Or the kids are going to go to the prom. Or the kids are going to go, or better yet, you're at a bar drinking. And you know you can't get behind the vehicle and drive because you're intoxicated. Well, you can tell your vehicle, I'm intoxicated, drive me home. And essentially, you're driverless. You're being escorted just like you would like a taxi, but by a computer. I think this is going to be good. But will they ever do it? I don't know. Will we ever get to that part? I hope so. All right, Mars robotic Curiosity has made a close encounter of the second kind. NASA has basically touched a Martian rock with its robotic arm for the first time, basically doing a chemical assessment on the rock, and they touched it with the alpha particle X-ray spectrometer, and so that's pretty cool. They did some sampling, and then off they went, and then they drove about 130 feet away from the spot that they were looking at. In the Daily Galaxy at dailygalaxy.com, talking about the Milky Way's discovered embedded into a colossal halo of gas equal to the mass of all stars in the galaxy. The Chanda X-ray telescope has provided evidence that our Milky Way galaxy apparently is in an enormous halo of hot gas that extends for hundreds of thousands of light years, and it is estimated to be comparable to the mass of all the stars in the Milky Way galaxy. So they say if the size and mass of this gas halo is confirmed, it could be the solution for what they're calling the Misson-Baron problem. Now, apparently they feel that the galaxy's short on baron gas, and they feel if this is where this gas is, it could make some, basically, this, they're speculating that this could account for the lost gas in the galaxy. So this is kind of a deep topic, a hot gas. Now, what is considered hot in deep space? I'd like to know that definition. All right, 4 epic videos about cheap video lighting. A good one over at MakeUseOf.com. Those of you that have been playing around with doing lighting, of course, here in my hotel room, the lighting sucks. But definitely there's some low-budget lighting suggestions in this. And I'll have the link up in the show notes for you to check that out. All right, those of you that are WWE fans, Hulu Plus has signed the Raw deal with WWE. And, of course, if you are a WWE fan and you are a Hulu fan, you're going to be happy that you're going to be able to stream WWE in Spanish as well as English. And so the WWE TV's content is coming exclusively to Hulu Plus, where subscribers are going to access the popular formats like Raw, SmackDown, and the day after they air on TV. So very, very cool for those of you that are WWE fans. All right, how many of you got teenagers in the house? How many of you worried about those teenagers getting into your liquor cabinet and helping themselves to some of the contents of that liquor content? Well, here's a solution for you. It's called the Locky Bottle Safe. It's basically you can put a lock on a bottle. It costs $20 a lock. And, you know, I'm going to be straight up. My kids know that the liquor cabinet is off limits, and it's in a location that that they have to go out of their way to get access to, and I just don't make that opportunity available for them to get access to that if they are, you know, it's just one of those things. Parents have to, you know, you have to do what you have to do, but and I think teenagers are going to do what they're going to do. My family took the approach that it was better to learn to drink at home than to drink in a car somewhere. And I think that probably will be the case as my kids get a little older. But for now, I don't think I need to put $20 locks on liquor bottles. Might be a good idea to put $20 locks on my scotch that I don't want no one getting into. Someone deciding they're going to make themselves a scotch and coke, because that doesn't happen in my house. No disgracing any scotch. It's not, you don't, if you're going to mix scotch, it's with ice and maybe a little water, but nothing soda related. No way, Jose. All right, let me go ahead here. And, you know, I have never seen this, and I go to Austin quite a bit, and next time I go to Austin, I'm going to check this out. But there's some dude that is called, he's the Junk King, and he's got this, like, tower of junk. And when I saw this picture, I thought it was pretty incredible. This is an article over on O Gizmo, and you look at this, and it's the tower of junk extends as high as trees. And actually, the city of Austin asking for a building permit recently, and he had to lower the amount of junk that he had stacked up. But you've got to see the video. You're going to be amazed at the amount of junk that this guy's managed to cram the space he had to work into. You know, just it goes to show you that one man's junk is another man's treasure. And this guy has definitely got a lot of what he considers to be treasure. And that's... I'm going to say it that. Link will be up in the show notes at gncshownotes.com. Hey, law enforcement, get this. Law enforcement is going to identify and store millions of voices via a Russian biometric software. So, you know, we all know that they're doing face recognition and, you know, doing stuff at the DMV and, you know, we're being indexed. But the FBI Biometric Center of Excellence said that voice recognitions are a popular choice for remote authentication due to the availability of devices for collecting speech samples, aka telephone networks and computer microphones, and its ease of integration. Further, the FBI believes that voice biometrics will be a reliable and consistent means of integration for use in remote recognition. They say deploying voice recognition requires no special equipment other than a good quality microphone, which most of us have thanks to our mobile phones. So Slate apparently has an interesting article about how law enforcement can identify you via VoiceGrid Nation, created by a company called SpeechPro, which is a company in the United States but operates a speech technology center in Russia. So anyway, all of us doing podcasts, we've already been logged and indexed. And no, everyone talks every day, usually, so you've probably been logged and indexed. Over on Reddit, don't get over on Reddit very often, but, you know, Reddit's been under controversy before for adult-type content, but apparently some Reddit users are fighting against what they call creep shots. Creep shots are basically pictures of unsuspecting underage girls. In this particular case, it was apparently taken by a teacher. A series of pictures were taken by a teacher, and these are often voyeuristic-type images, not necessarily naked images, but they are suggestive in the content and in the way the picture is shot or the angle or wherever they, wherever they're pointing at. And the folks over at Reddit, there is a group of users who are basically kind of trying to self-regulate some of this, what they call creep shots going into the website. I think it's pretty disgusting to begin with, but, you know, what really caused some uproar was it apparently was a teacher, and of course this teacher has not been identified yet, probably won't take too long and this teacher was saying, a hot teenager in my class, blah, 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 and took a picture. Which is pretty sick in itself. That guy needs to be fired. But they're trying to do some self-regulation and get these types of pictures removed. And but I guess there's a whole underbelly of Reddit where this type of stuff takes place. But it's nice to see some users step up for once and try to get this type of content taken down. And it's kind of unnerving if you think about it. You know, you think about if you have kids, and if you have, especially if you have a daughter, doesn't matter what age they are. I think if someone taking a picture of your kid and uploading and making a sexual suggestive type of comment, especially from an adult male. It's bad. It's one of those situations where you're like, please get that type of teacher off the street, fire that person, and get them some mental counseling. It's pretty gross. All right, so let's go ahead and I got last couple articles here tonight for you. But Mega Upload is ready for comeback. Basically, they're saying that .com is basically saying we're building a new site and we're 90% code complete. We're buying the servers outside of the United States, and they're saying it's coming. And if they think the Mega Upload before was a machine, stand by. And they've had several hints about the new site. He says it'll be bigger and better than the file hosting service that was taken down. He says we're building a massive global network. All non-U.S. hosters will be able to connect servers and bandwidth, explained earlier. And according to .com, they can expect Mega Upload with an even greater range of applications than just file sharing. He is basically going to war. He says they abused the wrong guy. I'm going to turn this world upside down. Power to the people. Bye-bye, Echelon. HelloFreedom.com added. He says it's going to be a few more weeks before the new Mega Upload appears online, but there are exciting times ahead, Mega has said. He's taking the battle to him. All right, that's it for tonight, or that's it for today. And this completes my two shows in Japan, back to Honolulu, back to the studio. I have no idea what my schedule is, but I should be home for the next couple of weeks. I'll keep you advised on that. I did have some email. I think the other day what was going on was my email was not connecting. And let's see what I have. And let me actually look at the date today. And, okay, where are we at? We're at the 24th. So let me go back. I got an email here from Lee. He says, hey, Todd, this might be a fun, advanced shoe tech-related story for you. It's not a Tang-delivered transdermally through your foot, but the next best thing, space-age memory foam. So he links me to some pretty cool shoes. I've got that. I have that in the show notes. Got an email here from Frank. He says, hey, Todd, the script was part of the lie. He says, so this is specifically, let me read back here. This was an article over on IB Times, and I don't know which audio this is referring to, but it's something to do with Egypt and some of the things have been going on over there. So I'll have a link up in the show notes for that. Thanks for that, Frank. I guess I should have read that article. Got an email from Nier. He says, hey, Todd, I wrote you for about a WAS. It's an Israeli app, very successful worldwide. It's a community-based and contributed mapping GPS and driving direction app that is extremely popular here and available around the world. Try it. You won't need your wife to translate the menu for you. Good luck, Nier. Let's see here. What else? Got an email here. That's a double. Got one here from George. He said, hey, Todd, happy 101 shows. We're loving what you're doing. Relevant, incisive, ticks all the boxes. Thanks for all your hard work over the years. By the way, I agree with you. And Apple's knee-jerk reworking of the podcast iOS app. They've recently been half-baking their software and hardware and pawning it off untested by their die-hard users. I think I've got that one covered. Got an email from Sam. He said, hey, Todd, I thought show 800 was good. Congrats. I don't think you got over sentimental except for the part when you start crying like a baby. He says, kidding. I enjoy the show as you've been doing it for 800 episodes. I miss the personal stuff. I know your wife doesn't want you to share so much. I completely understand that, but it's what made us all feel close to you and part of the Ohana. As you say, it's what it is. Keep it up, Todd. I'll keep listening. Sam in Albuquerque. And really, you know, it drives. My wife is, for a better word, you know, there's some stuff she gets really nervous about me doing, talking about now. And part of it has to do with a couple of incidents we've had. And, because there are a-holes out there that have done some bad things. When I'm on travel, when I'm at home, when someone's got a jealousy about something I'm doing, there's been some things that have happened that I'd rather not go into that made us kind of go, And not to the point where I need to go buy a fire, you know, extra, I shouldn't say extra, where I not need, where I have to arm my house to the teeth, but it was enough to make you sit back and go, but it's a, it's yeah, I understand that you guys like more of the personal stuff. And I guess maybe I just, you know, from her browbeating me, I had to, scale back some of the stuff, but, everybody's good. We're good. Show's good. Don't worry. And, the haters can be haters. I got an email from, and this is some of the stuff we missed on the last show. Gary said, "Hey Todd, just wanted to share this presentation I received with you that appears to be recent photos of Navy ships and aircraft. Maybe this is the second time around the web, but thought of you when I saw them. Enjoy, Gary out of Grand Rapids." And Jerry, I see when you served. Thanks for your service when you were in the Air Force. Appreciate it. And, oh, here's the email I got from Gary. He said, "Hey, Todd, not sure what notification you received, but I want to tell you that I just canceled my PayPal reoccurring payment, but I started a new one, doubling my monthly support, although still not a great number. I did this because I feel you're really at the beginning of a true GNC insider community, and I wanted to show my approval and support in a small way. Feel free to use this in any way, just as a notice of my actions, or maybe a GNC Insider Challenge. Happily supporting your efforts, Gary, again out of Grand Rapids." And no, Gary, I won't hold it against you that you're a friend of Barry's. I won't do that. Got an email from Eric. He says, "Congrats on show 800. Good show as usual." I got an email from Tim. He says, "Hey, Todd. Well, I think we are about to find out, in addition to counterterrorism scenarios, law enforcement will begin training to fight off zombies at Counterterrorism Summit in San Diego, hosted by the Halo Corporation. So they're going to have a zombie apocalypse conference." Oh, my gosh. I got an email from Richard to say, "Hey, Todd, staying with AT&T because I prefer the functionality of their network and live in an RV full-time. Three MiFis for internet, Verizon, Sprint, and AT&T to get enough bandwidth. Congrats on show 800. Been with you from almost the beginning. Always informative and entertaining. Richard W." Thanks, Richard. I got an email from Chris. "Hey, Todd, oh, yeah, I can resend you an email to the other address. I think that's it. I get an email from BT. "Hey, Todd, congrats on show 800. Yeah, this was stuff that I missed on the last show because the email hadn't downloaded. All right, that's it. That's it, folks. We're going to sign off, and we're going to load up the gear and get ready to head for Honolulu. The Japanese took care of the mobile studio. Let me show you where the mobile studio is for those of you that get to see the video later. The mobile studio is up on top of a table. That's why I have to keep looking up. It's not. I couldn't put it in a real good place. Hopefully the camera stays there. Yeah, it's up there where it's hanging out. But all the controls are down here. As always, geeknews@gmail.com, Twitter @geeknews, and of course the show hotline is 619-342-7365. It's been my pleasure to bring you a show. Those of you on the stream, thanks for being here. And actually, I should look over there and see if there was any other thing in the chat. No, it doesn't appear to be. But until we get back to Honolulu in the regular studio, everyone take care. Aloha, and as they say in Japan, sayonara.